and others, but you do help yourself when you encourage to other people. Amen. I've always come to find out when you can find a way to encourage others, it encourages you. Amen. And not to mention, it is a really kind of a distraction when you help focus on others, and that's probably why in Philippians says, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. And so just a quick thought for you there, try to encourage you. Let's go ahead and look here in Romans chapter 12, and you don't have to stand. We're going to just read verses 9 through 16, and then we'll get into the message. Romans chapter 12, verses 9 through 16, let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continue an instant in prayer. Distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that do weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Father, we're thankful again, Lord, for today. We ask for your help. Lord, we pray for just the next few moments that you would, Lord, truly help us to get something in the Scriptures that would let us be a help and encouragement to other people. Lord, in particular, those who may be hurting today, struggling, Lord, we know they're out there. And I pray that you use us as Christians, Lord, as your children, Lord, to be the one that maybe we can reach them. And these things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We read here in these verses, we're going to really point out five things. We really won't be able to get into everything, but we're trying to really focus on the idea of being a help to others. Now, sometimes we even wonder, can I be the one to be a help to someone? And you never know, friend, how you might just be what they need. And I say that a lot when we're talking back in the prayer room. We talk a little bit about in Sunday school. You just don't know how your words of encouragement can make the difference in someone's day. And maybe in that day make a difference even in their life. And, you know, people often don't remember things. You know, for example, today, I've had a wonderful time and, you know, enjoyed some wonderful things, had some wonderful food. I may or may not remember that you fixed something today, right? Sister Liz, for example, fixed Caesar salad. That's really my favorite kind of salad. In a year from now, I may or may not remember that she fixed Caesar salad, right? I had a couple of chili. Right, she'll remind me. Thank you. I had a couple different kinds of chili. I had some chicken. Boy, blessing, right? I may or may not remember things that you did in that regard. But generally, now think with me for a second. If I'm struggling today and you went out of your way to try to be an encouragement to me, I'm going to remember that more than I'm going to remember something that you did or something of that nature. Words matter. Amen. That's why it's so important, the things that we say. And so really that's kind of what we're looking at. It's really simple, just a few thoughts from here. And just keep in mind, and the other thing that I say all the time is, you never know what kind of day somebody is having. You never know what they're going through, and just your reaching out to them, your offering support, your encouragement might just be what they need to get them through that day. And then as I started to say in our Sunday school, we said, hey, listen, we may see somebody we've never seen here before. And it came out to be true. There was people here in church today, and I was glad to have them, that we have never seen before. Amen. And I was kind of joking with the men a little bit too. I said, now, sometimes it's also what not to say, man. And sometimes it's good to know what to say or how to encourage, but sometimes it's a blessing to know what not to say. And one of the things I've learned not to say in ministry is when people show up on a day like this, well, I guess you showed up for the food today, right? You know, and regardless, it doesn't really matter on days like this why they're here. I'm just glad they're here. I don't care if they came to dress up. I don't care if they came to have a bowl of chili. I don't care if they came for the ice cream. They're going to leave with something from the Word of God, and they might leave with more than what they thought that they were getting. So it makes no difference to me, right? So I'm saying that be an encouragement to people, and part of that is knowing how to encourage and then also how to not discourage, amen? So think about those things as we go along. But the first thing that I think is important. This will help you say, Pastor, I don't know what to say to people. The very first thing that you can be is just be genuine. Amen. Don't say something that you don't mean. Don't act in such a way that we're not actually believing what we say. If we go back there in verse number 9, it says, let love be without dissimulation. So that's really talking about being sincere. Be genuine in our love and in our service and even in our encouragement to people. You know what I've come to find out is people can tell when you're being real or not, right? We might think that we're fooling them, but they can really tell when we're being genuine or not. So if you don't know what to say, you don't know how to encourage, it starts off by being genuine, amen? You know how to be a help, you know how to be encouragement. All I'm saying is be real in those things. When I start to think about being genuine as well, I start to also think about the example. This is a way that people know that you do something that's real. Because every now and then you might make a sacrifice. And I don't just mean, friends, by a monetary sacrifice, you see somebody in need and you help them. And I realize there's times where you've done that, probably. I'm sure that you have. But you know, the early church, it wasn't just about that. They actually realized that there was a need for people, and they went and sold some of their possessions to give to those that were in need, right? And the reason why they did that is because they were sincere about their desire to help people. It's one thing to say, I want to be an encouragement. I want to help those that are hurting. I want to help those that are in need. It's another thing to go in to make a sacrifice. So, yes, it was a financial gift, but it was actually a sacrificial gift because they actually sold some things in order to be a help to them. We find that example in the early church. So the best thing that you can do if you want to help someone who's hurting is be genuine. Be a real encouragement. Be real in their life. Be someone that they know that they're sincere. The other thing I think we can be genuine is in our listening, right? You know, realize sometimes, friends, people just need somebody to hear what they've got to say. Now, I never said you have to agree with everything they had to say, right? Sometimes people just want somebody to talk to and pray with. Amen? I've come to find out that sometimes I might call a pastor friend and I don't necessarily need him to give me an answer. I don't necessarily need him to give me a particular direction on how to handle something. But I tell you what I always know I need is that I always know I need that brother to listen and even to pray with me if he would take a time or take a minute to do that. So those are things that we can do. So number one, be genuine. The Bible says, let love be without dissimulation. That's literally talking about not being fake, okay? The second thing I think that you're going to need to be is you're going to need to be diligent, not slothful in business, verse number 11, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. I'm going to go ahead and let you know now, if you want to help somebody, sometimes it's going to take an effort, right? You know, sometimes we say, well, I tried to talk to them. They didn't want to listen. Well, we called them one time, right? We tried to go by one time and they rejected that, or they just didn't really feel like talking in that moment, and then we give up. We're done, right? And so the second thing that we can do is be diligent. Helping people, helping hurting people in particular, it's hard work, right? It takes effort. That's why I think the Bible says also be not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. You know, you think about often those second mile Christians, and I desire to be the kind of Christian that goes the extra mile for people. Amen. There's been plenty of people who's gone the extra mile for me. Amen. And it's made a difference in my life. Let's be the kind of person that does that. In Matthew 5:41, and whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. In other words, at that time it was custom that in particular a Roman soldier was to compel you to go a mile with him to help bear his load or whatever the case may be. Jesus was saying, well, you might be obligated to do 1 mile. But when he says go twain, he's saying go ahead and go that extra mile. If you're going to go one, go two. Now we're talking about second mile Christians, and really that's really a thought in itself. But I'm just saying it's going to take an effort. Sometimes to reach people where they're hurting, and you say, well, they don't want any help, it's going to take a little bit of extra effort, friend. I'm glad that there's times in my life that somebody didn't give up on me. There was times in my life where I needed someone to go the extra mile. There's times in my life where I know I was stubborn. I know I was prideful. I know I was backward and living in a way that wasn't pleasing to the Lord. But I'm glad somebody made the effort to go the extra mile to try to be a help and encouragement to me. And friend, we all need to do that. Don't think, well, I'm the one who needs that. And may, that may be true. Why don't you focus on doing that for someone else, and then God will send somebody else your way to do that for you in your time of need. I really believe that with all my heart. All I'm saying is that Jesus was teaching, if you're obligated, if you're compelled to go one, go ahead and go two. Go ahead and go that extra mile. So we see that it's important for us to be genuine. Second of all, it's important for us to be diligent. Thirdly, there's times we may be a little assertive. Now, you say, well, yeah, I'm assertive enough. Just hang on a second, okay? Let's kind of break that down. Those who help people sometimes must need to take the initiative, right? You know, in other words, well, you know, I asked them if they needed anything. Well, sometimes you got to be a little bit more assertive. Go dig a little bit deeper, right? Well, I noticed that, you know, maybe that you weren't able to make something or maybe to come. You know, you realize sometimes maybe somebody couldn't get something because they didn't have the gas money. Honestly. And I'm not talking about trying to embarrass somebody. But sometimes when God lays on our heart to help someone, we can be a little bit more assertive, and maybe they say, oh, I'm fine. Well, they said they didn't need anything. Well, are you sure? Right? Your family's got plenty of groceries. Hey, we'll find a way to get them groceries. You got what you need. And I realize, folks, listen, you say, well, I do that, and people take advantage. Listen, we can spend all time, kinds of time talking about the people that take advantage of us. I'm not naive into knowing that sometimes people take advantage of that kind of thing. I understand that. I realize, and this may not sound good, but sometimes people take advantage of churches. I know they do, right? I understand that. But we just try to follow the Lord's wisdom. If we try to help somebody and they're just taking advantage, that, you know what I've come to find out? That's between them and the Lord. That's not between me and them. That's between them and the Lord. And if we said, well, we can't help people because they take advantage of us, then you're not going to help anybody. Because you're always in your mind going to think, well, they're just taking advantage of the situation. They're taking advantage of my generosity. I'm not telling you to be foolish, friend. I'm not telling you to spend your whole paycheck on somebody. I'm not telling you that you don't work that week to sit down and hold somebody's hand. That's not what I'm saying. We have to be wise and follow the Lord's leadership on this thing. But what I'm saying is that if we have in our mind, well, they always take advantage of it, then you're not going to help anyone. I realize that. Hey, by the way, do you think that anybody ever takes advantage of the grace of God? Do you think anyone ever takes advantage of what the Lord's done for us? I'm pretty confident that probably all of us has done that at some point. Amen? But I never saw where the Lord said, well, they took advantage of me. I'm not going to forgive them. I'm not going to extend any more mercy and grace their way. No, we know what the Bible says about that. But being assertive means you simply just taking an initiative sometimes. So, first of all, we're talking about being genuine. We're talking about being diligent. Thirdly, being assertive. And number four, I think this is important, be selfless. Now, if you go to help someone, let's not do it because we hope to get somebody out of it. Right? I've always wondered, you know, sometimes it seems like celebrities, the only other time you see them besides on the movie set or besides in the ball game is when they're out there helping someone. They make sure that the cameras are nearby. How many know what I'm talking about, right? Oh, yeah. Hey, listen, if you go to feed the poor, I just don't know that that's something that you ought to say, oh, well, look at me, I'm out feeding the hungry today. That's not something you ought to do all the time. Amen? Now, if somebody else, you know, recognizes you and what you did was encouragement, that's one thing, but I'm talking about how we do. Well, I'm talking about being selfless. Not doing it for, if we go out there and we do it for show, we do it for a compliment, oh, you're such a good person, then friend, you've done it for the wrong reason. Amen. Bible says the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. Why don't you just let the Lord reward you? Yeah, He sees the evil, but He also sees the good. Let God be the one to take care of that kind of thing. And the Bible does say, let another man praise thee. Now, you shouldn't seek praise. That ought not be our motive. But if somebody else wants to say how much of an encouragement you are, that's between them and the Lord. You leave that up to them. What I am saying, friend, is real helpers are those who give of themselves, right? Let's look at Acts chapter 20, verses 33 through 35 for just a moment. Acts chapter 20, verses 33 through 35. This is the Apostle Paul speaking. We read a portion of this a couple weeks ago. I have coveted no man's silver, gold, or apparel. Paul is simply saying, listen, my desire to give of myself wasn't so that somebody would give me a nice apparel or some kind of monetary gift. That was not my desire. He didn't covet that. He said, yea, ye yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me. Excuse me, verse 35, and I have showed you all things, how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And so I believe here that this is the Apostle Paul saying that, hey, listen, I didn't do this for recognition. I didn't do this for some kind of personal gain. That ought to be our mindset when we go to help someone, in particular someone who's struggling, in particular someone who's hurting. It's not for personal gain. It's not for personal advantage. So if we're going to help someone, we also have got to be selfless. And the last thing I want to mention today is I believe we're going to need to be humble. If you look there in verse number 16, be of the same mind one to another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. You know, if our mindset when we go to try to help someone in particular who needs help is, well, I'm going to help so-and-so, their life is such a mess, and I just don't know that they'll get through unless I help them. You know, there's probably times in our lives where we were a mess, friend. Whether he was caught up in sin, maybe he was living on the streets, maybe he was caught up in some kind of addiction, I don't know. I'm just saying that there was a time, I mean, the Bible says that he lifted us up out of the miry clay, right? That means that at one point in our lives were a mess without the Lord Jesus Christ in our lives. So some point, sometime, Christ pulled us up out of a mess somewhere. If you've been saved by the grace of God, that's what the Lord's done for you, friend, right? But if we go into it with that mindset, well, you know, they really need to be more like me. How about we help them be more like Christ? Amen? Let's not worry about being more like me. Let's help them and guide them to be more like Christ. Amen? Because, hey, we're going to mess up. We're going to fail. We're going to say things wrong. We're going to do things wrong. Let's encourage them to be more like Christ. Let me give you this scripture, Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. So here, it gives a couple of two qualifications if you're going to help someone. In this particular thing, this is talking about someone who has been overtaken in a fault or overtaken in a sin or has backslidden in their life. And by the way, don't show up and say, I'm here because you're backslidden. Okay? Things aren't going to start off very well, and they're not going to be very receptive of your message or your help or your encouragement, right? How about we show up and say, hey, I'm here because I care. Amen? I'm here because I'm concerned for you, and I really do want to try to be a help to you. So, first of all, it says to you which are spiritual. So if you're going to help somebody, then you got to have a sense of spirituality about yourself. You got to have some godliness about yourself. And then it says, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. So it tells us a little bit about our character, and then it tells us a little bit about our spirit. Our character is that we're living a godly spiritual life, and then our spirit is the spirit of meekness or humility, right? If you go through somebody, they're going to know whether you're there and you have an arrogant tone, arrogant walk, an arrogant attitude. And friend, people are just not very receptive of that. Amen. In fact, it's kind of a turnoff, and you're probably going to have the opposite effect. So what we want to do is have a humble spirit and have that spirit of meekness, as the Bible says. Last scripture I want to give you today, friend. I think that if I was to go around the room, I really believe, church, that if I said, hey, would you be willing to help someone who's hurting today? Would you be willing to help someone in need today? I really feel like you're sincere enough that I really think you want to. I really do. I don't know. Looking around here, I can't think of anybody that would say, no, Pastor, I don't want to help nobody. I really think that you do. I'm just trying to give you some things today that will help you be more better equipped in that area. But the last thing I want to give you here, and I love this verse, Jude chapter 1, verse 22. If you truly want to make a difference in somebody's life, this is the thing that you're going to need the most. Jude chapter 1, verse 22, and some having compassion. You want to make a difference? Have compassion. And some having compassion, making a difference. Friend, if there's something that's going to make a difference, it's going to be the love of Christ flowing through you, right? Compassion, by the way, is not necessarily agreeing with somebody's situation or even how they got there, right? But compassion means that you have gotten to the place where, despite that you're going to show them the love of God anyway, and you're going to do something to help, even if they got themselves in that mess. Even if you stand, because sometimes I think we're hesitant to help people because we have the attitude, well, they deserve what they got. And friend, can I be honest with you? Maybe they do, and maybe they don't, but it's not for you and I to decide. That's for God to decide. How about we not play the role of God because we're good at that? Well, you know, they've been backslid, preacher, and then, you know, they're just, God's really whipping them now, getting what they deserve. Friend, then if that's our attitude, then we're not going to be the ones that help people. But if you say, you know what, I realize that maybe the Lord's trying to get a hold of them, let me be that vessel. Let me be the one to bridge the gap. Remember we talked about Barnabas not that long ago. Let me be the one to bridge that gap and help bring them back to the Lord, help encourage them. They need to see the love of Christ through somebody who represents the Lord Jesus Christ, to try to be a help to them. And friend, might be you. You realize that I can't reach everybody. I don't go everywhere where you go. I don't work in your place of business. I don't go have your schedule. I don't have the same routine as you do. So there's people that you're going to have to reach. I can't reach them all. Amen? But I really believe, friend, that God wants to use you and God wants to use me to try to help people because you just don't know. You just don't know. And I hope and pray that looking at these scriptures will give us some thoughts on how and maybe consider what we say, what we do, and ultimately have this heart of compassion that we can help make a difference in people's lives. Let's all stand to our feet. I'll ask my wife to come or son to come, somebody come to the piano. And just for a moment, maybe God spoke to your heart. And let me say it this way. You know, a lot of times I'll ask a question that is really, as he plays softly, a lot of times the question is asked in a personal way about yourself. But I want to ask in a way, maybe God has put someone on your heart. Maybe God has laid somebody on your heart to show compassion to them. Even if they've got themselves in that mess, maybe to be gracious to them. Maybe to show them the love of Christ. And maybe God's put somebody on your heart now. How many would say, Pastor, God has put somebody on my heart. Would you pray that I can help them? God has put somebody on my heart to be compassionate to be gracious to. Hold up your hand for just a moment. We're going to take it to the Lord in prayer. God has laid somebody on my heart. I see hands going up throughout the room. Go ahead and put your hands down. I'm going to pray and I'm going to invite you to come. Father, we thank you, Lord, for what you've done today. And God, it's our desire. We want to be the kind of church and the kind of Christians that always reach out and be a help to someone. And Lord, help us to not just be so focused on ourselves that we're always the ones looking for help, but help us to be the ones who want to help. Lord, several lifted their hands and said, maybe you laid somebody on their heart. I pray that you'd help them to reach them in a special way, Lord, to show mercy, to show grace, to show compassion, and some of these character traits or matters of the Spirit that you've showed us in the Scriptures today. Father, you know who they are. You know what those needs are. These things we ask in Jesus' name. I want you to continue to pray there. Maybe you'll get on your knees there where you're at or come to the altar and truly ask God to give you a burden for somebody. I like how the Apostle Paul said it at church. He said, my heart's desire and prayer for Israel is that they might be saved. And friend, I pray that God will give you a desire to see people saved and to want to be a help to someone. Show them the love of Christ. Friend, in a world that's gone awry, in a world that's just simply fallen away, you know what this world needs more than anything else? They need a group of Christians that's going to stand up and show them the love of Christ and proclaim the gospel to them. And friend, maybe there's someone here today, if you've never been saved by the grace of God, we want to give you that opportunity. If you're here today and you never trust Christ as your personal Savior, you're not sure that you're going to heaven when you die, would you come forward and let us take the Bible and let us show you from the Word of God how you can know for sure that you're going to heaven? That's you today, friend. Whatever your need is, we invite you to come. We invite you to come. All right, church. All hearts and minds at ease. Thank you very much. Listen, we appreciate all of your help. Again, there's too many people. Everybody brought something, brought food, helped prepare food, helped clean up. We'll just ask. I don't know what else needs to be done. What else needs to be done? Where's my wife? What anything else need to be done out here? Okay. Miss Nancy, what else do we need over here? We're good out there? Okay. Thank you so much, church. I appreciate you being here. Remember, we're dismissed for the day. If anybody's wondering where we're at today, tell them, hey, we've already had church a couple times today. We missed you. Amen. All right, let's have a word of prayer, and we'll be dismissed. Brother Mike, could I get you to dismiss us in a word of prayer, brother, for our service? Dismiss our service, brother, please.